For Moses, that day began like any other. He woke, he dressed, he tended to the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro. Staff in hand, Moses led the sheep to the backside of the desert, to a mountain called Horeb, also called Sinai. And there, as the sheep grazed and bleated, Moses watched and rested. An ordinary day. Hot sun, blue sky, arid breeze. And for Moses, ordinary was good. Ordinary meant routine, safety, no surprises, no problems, no worries, no unreasonable expectations, same old, same old. And yet, on that ordinary day, God gave Moses an extraordinary task. Speaking to Moses through the flames of a burning shrub, God said, "Moses, go now. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And Moses must have thought, "Go where? Do what? Who, me?" His actual words were, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Good question. Who was Moses? At this time, Moses was 80 years old. Moses was a shepherd, not a soldier. Moses was a leader of sheep, not a leader of rebellions. Besides, 40 years earlier, Moses had attempted to deliver the Israelites on his own. And the result? One dead Egyptian, one angry Pharaoh, and one would-be hero, Moses, fleeing for his life to the land of Midian, today Saudi Arabia. Some deliverer, some deliverance. Confronted with this overwhelming task, Moses offered God one excuse after another. And God countered every excuse with the promise of his divine power and constant presence. "Moses, I will go with you. Moses, I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptian. Moses, I will tell you what to say." And it was only when Moses finally told God, "Oh Lord, could you please just send someone else to do it?" that God became angry. Why? Because despite the excuses, who Moses was just didn't matter. Who God was did. And who God was and is and ever shall be, he conveyed that day to Moses through a wondrous name. I am who I am, or simply, I am. In Hebrew, this name for God, I am, is actually not a proper noun, but a timeless verb. It is a name for God, by some counts, used 7,000 times in the Old Testament. It is a name for God that Jesus applied to himself when he told the unbelieving Jews, "Before Abraham was, I am." That was not a poorly constructed sentence. That was a clear declaration of Christ's deity. This name for God, I am, perhaps more than any other, emphasizes his eternal nature and the reliability of his covenant faithfulness. For Moses, an ordinary day brought an extraordinary challenge. But can't the same thing happen to us? On an otherwise ordinary day, one unexpected phone call, there's been an accident. One unexpected meeting with the supervisor, you're fired. One unexpected medical diagnosis, yes, it's cancer. And our whole world can be turned upside down, and we can feel as overwhelmed as Moses. But in all such circumstances, in whatever we are called to do, or whatever we are called to endure, you and I need to remember that same lesson that Moses learned. It doesn't matter who we are, what we have, what we can do. All that matters is who God is. And who is he? The infinite I am. What does that name really suggest to us? Well, first, the name I am describes God's eternal nature. God always is, always was, always will be. And certainly an eternal, infinite God, no beginning and no ending, is far beyond our human comprehension. All that we can do is to bend the knee before the Almighty and sing with the host of heaven, Revelation chapter 4. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And yet, while eternity is beyond our understanding, the comfort of having an eternal God is not. Because in the end, what does eternal mean? Always there. And so the eternal God is the always there God. He's always there in good times and always there in bad times. He's there in sickness and health and poverty and wealth and life and death. He's there when we need him, and he is still there when we think we don't. In practical terms, you and I may say, oh God, I don't know if I can do this task, this ministry. And true to his name, God says, don't worry, I am with you. Or you and I may say, God, I don't know if I can make this troubled relationship work. And true to his name, he says, don't give up. I am with you. This is the name that God gave Moses to prepare him for what lay ahead. And this is the same name that God gives us for the same. When sudden changes occur in our otherwise ordinary day, and they do, unemployment, sickness, failure, the loss of a loved one, leading 3 million people out of Egypt. How important that you and I remember that this name for God, I am, is his very guarantee that he is always with us. We have his name on it. We have his word on it. Just as Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. But a second aspect of this great name for God, I am, is his self-sufficiency. God is entirely and infinitely complete in himself. God needs nothing. He depends on no one. And that's why Paul told the philosophers in Athens, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples made by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. For he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. And so you see, this I am God is not only the eternal God, he's the all-sufficient God. This God, who is the always there God, is also the all you'll ever need God. And that's why Paul wrote to the Philippians, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's why Paul wrote to the Philippians, my God will meet all your needs in Christ Jesus. And finally, that's the most comforting thing of all, is it not? That in Christ Jesus, all of our needs are met. Our need for eternal life, our need for forgiveness, our need for righteousness. When Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished, what was he saying? It's all done. Sufficient. There's nothing left for you to do. It's as Paul wrote, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. As you think of Jesus as being the all I need Savior, I want you to listen to these statements that he made using that name, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. He's our everything, from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega. It's as the hymnist wrote, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Listen, as you leave here today for spring break or for tour choir or for home, whatever the task, whatever the destination, don't forget to take along that lesson that Moses learned that day in the desert. Whatever comes, it doesn't matter who you are. It just matters who God is. And he's the infinite I am. Amen. Our hymn this morning is 388. 388, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4.